5852. Well, we promised you at the beginning of tonight's event, this program, that you would have a chance to learn more about some of these judicial nominees. You know, they kind of get lost in the news, and from a distance you think, you know, are these real people? Well, in fact, they are real people. They have real families, real lives, and they are making a real difference in the lives that they have been living. And tonight, I want to show you a little bit of a video clip. Today, I sat down with Judge Charles Pickering, and we had a little discussion, and I thought you might like to hear it.
Judge Pickering, during this process, I know many things were said. It's amazing how the truth gets lost in all of this. What were some of the things that were said by your opponents in the Senate that were inaccurate or just downright false?
Well, probably the thing that they hit me on the most consistently and the hardest was trying to portray me as a racist. You know, that was ironic. During the height of the civil rights movement, I had testified against Sam Bowers, the Imperial Wizard, the White Knights, the Ku Klux Klan, one of the most dangerous Klansmen ever to don a robe. And I had testified against him in a murder trial. I had worked with the FBI to fight the Klan. We kept our children in schools when integration came. I sent my children to schools that were integrated with 70% African Americans. I had chaired biracial groups. I'd helped to create the Institute for Racial Reconciliation at Ole Miss. I had written articles on racial reconciliation. And they attacked me really at the core of what I had done and tried to do for the many years. I hired the first African-American field man from the Mississippi Republican Party. They also inferred that I was incompetent, even though I had a well-qualified rating, the highest rating from the ABA. They talked about my 26 reversals, which was only one half of 1% of the cases that I handled. And the real reason they were opposing me was abortion. That's the engine that drove the opposition. But they tried to bring all of these other things in to muddy the issue and to smear the candidates. And so those were some of the things that I faced in questioning.
You've been through this process. You've watched others go through this process, particularly at the appellate court level. Is what is happening to these appellate court nominees fair?
You know, I'll let history judge as whether it was fair as far as my nomination is concerned. But William Pryor, they attacked him because of his strong religious convictions, and he's a practicing Catholic. He had made some very strong statements about abortion. William Pryor demonstrated time and time again as Attorney General of Alabama and on the 11th Circuit that he puts aside his personal beliefs and that he rules according to the rule of law. I wish liberal judges would put their personal beliefs aside as well as William Pryor does and rule according to law. And Judge Brown from California, Judge Owens from Texas, those were not treated fairly.
One final question. Probably a lot of young people watching this program tonight who may feel like they're being led into the area of law or maybe eventually to be a judge. Is it something that a Christian can do, and is it something a Christian should do to sit on the bench in our country?
Oh, absolutely. I sat on the bench for almost 14 years, and there was never a time that I had to do anything that was contrary to my Christian convictions. There might be some things that I disagreed with, but if Christians don't stand up, if they don't participate, then, you know, I cringe about the future. So I think we definitely need good people who are willing to make the commitment and willing to do what's necessary to serve the country, and I would encourage young people to do that.
Well, thank you, Judge, for your service, and thank you for taking a stand. Thanks.
Thank you.
Judge Pickering served over a decade on the court after he was nominated by the first President Bush to serve on the federal court. It was when he was nominated to the appellate court. After he'd already been approved once, he had been filibustered. I want to ask you to do something for me. I want you to get to your feet and show your appreciation to Judge Pickering.
It should be obvious. The confirmation system is broken
It threatens to weaken the judiciary. It needs to be fixed. Although I hope the two political parties can find a long-term solution that is fair and reasonable to both sides, and that in the future assures judicial nominees that they will be treated fairly and respectfully, past performance doesn't indicate a likelihood that this will occur. Consequently, if there is an attempt to filibuster another judicial nominee, it seems to me the only reasonable alternative is to insist that the Constitution be followed. This approach is sometimes referred to as the nuclear option, but that's a complete misnomer. Confirming judges by a majority vote is simply following the Constitution. And don't let anyone tell you that this will be changing Senate tradition or precedent. During the entire history of the United States Senate, not one single judicial nominee was ever denied confirmation by a filibuster prior to the George Bush nominees. So invoking the constitutional option will not change or reverse Senate traditions. Rather, the constitutional option will be restoring the Senate's long-standing historical tradition of giving judicial nominees who are before the full Senate an up or down vote. In 1775, Paul Revere made his famous midnight ride to warn American patriots of danger. And from whence did he receive his directions? From the belfry under the steeple of the Old North Church. And no one raised an issue of separation of church and state. Today, American people need to be warned of what is going on in the battle for the confirmation of judges. I'm convinced if the American people understand why judges are being filibustered, they will rise up and take action, and they will again make a difference.
Thank you, Judge Pickering. Ladies and gentlemen, we need men and women like that serving on the bench here in this nation, serving as judges. We need good judges. And I encourage you again to make that phone call tomorrow to call the Senate switchboard 202-224-3121. Now, how many of you have memorized that by now? There's a few other